A letter? For me?
Triple H, that letter's for me.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, what are you doing here?
I'm here to take that letter from you, because Stone Cold Steve Austin said so.
But that's for me.
What?
I said that's for me.
What?
The letter's...
What?
But the...
What?
The
what? Letter... What? 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 What?
Now, hold on a second. Hold on. Damn earplugs.
Pardon me?
I said the letter's for me.
I don't think it is. I'm the one who's supposed to be on Mad TV. I'm getting the invitation, not you. Give me these letters. Get off these letters, man. Give me these letters. I'm
going to
be on Mad TV.
Hands off him, you trailer trash.
If anyone wants to see Stone Cold Steve Austin open up a can of whoop-ass on this chick in a cloak holding a cake, give me a hell yeah.
Hold this, Hunter Hearst Hemsley Potter. Well, Triple H, Potter, I haven't seen you since SummerSlam 2000. You've grown since then. Happy birthday.
Thank you, but, do I know you?
I'm Stephanie Weir from Mad TV. But you know all about Mad TV.
No. I don't have cable.
So you haven't gotten any of our invitations?
No.
Well then here.
Dear Triple H Porter. You have been invited to join the cast of this evening's episode of Mad TV. Wow!
Why do they cheer Hulk Hogan? Why do they like Dusty Rhodes? Don't they know they both act like assholes? It's baby oil and blow.
Man, I might pull that out as an audio sample and just start using that as our regular every week. That was a clean take, man.
That
first take, clean take.
I'm a one take Jake, man. But that's what I've been working on this off time.
Okay.
When we were facing those quad injuries.
Uh-huh.
And we couldn't do the cast because we had to go to rehab.
It was a quick rehab. Bounced right back, man. Quads are feeling great.
What, are we going to be laid out for like 6 months? No,
that's stupid.
6 days, max.
Yeah, send me to Dr. Andrews.
Yeah.
Have him chop me up. You know.
Some illegal shots.
1 week later, I'm back.
You know how many stem cells I got in my quad right now?
I'm getting so drunk that I climb up on roofs.
You know how many stem cells I got in my quad?
I love being injected with stem cells. That's like my new thing. Basically, my new mantra is just like stem cells, stem cells, stem cells. It cures everything.
OPSC. You down with other people's stem cells?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know
like,
me.
I hear if you get like some Japanese baby stem cells and like inject that straight into your dick, man, you just get hard-ons forever.
Is it
the rest of your life, bro?
Is it them or the Chinese that kill the firstborn if they're
Chinese,
male?
Japanese, dirty knees, I think is how it goes. Look at these.
That's probably my favorite.
Look at these, meaning look at my new stem cell boners.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite scene from Rob
it's
Zombie's
probably my
wife.
Favorite poem of all time.
Spoken by Mrs. Zombie. Oh, we're back, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Baby oil and it is blow.
You were rehabbing in Florida all week.
Yeah, I went to Florida to rehab.
It was very exciting. You met Hulk Hogan? You met Big E Langston?
Big E Langston and Hulk Hogan.
Did you get them both to agree to come on the podcast?
Kinda, you know?
What do you mean, kind of? What's a kind of?
I'll get into those stories. Let's get the introductions out of the way in case you forgot. It's your boys, your big old Matto.
Memories out there.
With me, as always, you're going to be...
You have the brightest listener base.
I tell you what, you can be the Big E Langston to my Kofi Kingston and Xavier Rhodes. You're Nate Adams,
this
sir.
This is great.
Yeah. You're the best one.
Yeah, but you're the best boy. That's pretty cool,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but you're best boy, you know?
I feel like the best boy. Ahoy, ahoy, everybody out there. It's great to be back. I feel energized. Like that last podcast we did,
yeah.
Quite frankly, it was a bit of a chore, and I was like, I need a break. I need to, you know, recharge the batteries, and I've done that.
Quad tear couldn't have come at a better time.
Quad tear. Sometimes, you know, an injury is a blessing.
It's
how can we miss you if you won't go away?
That's the old saying.
And now I feel like the podcast, it went away a little bit, and I'm not nearly as mad as it as I have been recently.
Dr. Andrews has us on this strict diet of raw egg booze drinks that you've whipped up.
It's a miracle cure, actually. I don't know why December is the only month of the year we've decided where, you know, oh, we're only gonna drink raw egg mixed with booze this one month out of the year. It should be an all year long thing, man.
Yeah,
that's why I'm starting a new program, the raw egg and booze diet. I don't quite have all my material together, but once I do, the book deal's gonna come soon, I'm sure.
Way I figure, we got 6 solid months to work on a raw egg summer booze drink.
Oh, man.
People are going to love that.
Nothing better than just laying out on your back patio on a 100-degree day, just sucking down the raw egg.
I'm thinking egg white Collins or egg white spritzer?
One of the two. Yeah, Collins will get us very close to just a Ramos gin fizz, which is a nice classic drink.
There we go.
I feel like we got to do some sort of spritzer deal, because those Aperol spritzes are very trendy right now.
Yeah.
I feel like we get some bitter Italian what's-its, and we get some egg in there.
Start marketing it towards the fellas. Like,
maybe like a candied bacon garnish.
Hey, this white spritzer, you know, this white wine spritzer ain't just for your girlfriend anymore,
we're
fella.
We're on our way to a brand new brunch drink. We're on our way to a brand new way to live your life and get fit. The guy made $1 million. The guy's going to be me.
Yeah. So listen to this bullshit while you can, because pretty soon we ain't going to have time for it with all our multi-million dollar man ideas.
On a gravy train with biscuit wheels, thanks to all my egg schemes.
So you want to hear my story about meeting Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, this will be our modern wrestling news of the week. Matt met wrestlers.
Well, I got to get your TLC picks too, you know?
It's not going to happen.
Oh, okay, well, that's fair. We'll start with Hogan. I was staying in Clearwater right by his shop.
Oh, that's Hogan country down there, brother.
Right by his shop. Went there Sunday night when we were there. Like a store or two down. It was like, well, fuck it. Let's just stop in Hogan's store, see if he's
Sunday
there.
Sunday night at Hulk Hogan's beach shop. It's how everybody lives their lives down in Florida,
Looking through, you know, I picked up a nice pair of $1 million man socks while I was there.
Snake Handler Church in the morning, Hogan's beach shop in the evening. That's a solid Sunday
there. Yeah, it's a Florida Sunday right there. Go to check out, the young lady at the counter is like, oh, you know,
check her out. Like, how is she looking? What's the talent like at Hogan's Beach Shop? Is he hiring all the like hot high school girls to run the registers?
No, he's expecting the kind of 30-year-old women you would expect him.
Oh,
like,
man, that's disappointing.
Like, because he can't get the hot local talent anymore, so he's getting like
that's a damn shame.
The bartender washouts. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I guess there is a bright side to every story.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense if you would have seen her. Nothing but love though, baby. So we're talking and she's like, oh, you know, Hulk Hogan comes in and periodically blah, blah, blah. And like, I've heard that song and dance before.
Yeah, sure he does. Don't bullshit a bullshitter.
We're like, okay, when? She's like, well, he's always here at least twice a week during the week, just randomly. We're like,
that must be terrifying. Having a job where
Hulk Hogan, twice
a week at any moment, Hulk Hogan could show up just dealing with whatever Hulk Hogan's dealing with that day.
Yeah, right?
I bet she's got to hear a lot of sob stories.
He's sitting high, you know, on the horse again because he's got all that Gawker money.
Oh, la-dee-da.
Which is the biggest paycheck he's received a website. In years.
Who hasn't sued a website in bankruptcy? It's 2018. Get in line.
We're still waiting on that Grindr money, you know? Sons of bitches.
I got suitcases full of Grindr money. Different reasons.
I was going to say, that's a totally different podcast, sir. So she's like, you got to stop doing the week. We're like, okay, whatever. We're staying close by. I'll just fucking watch, you know?
I'm just going to park my car across the street.
And wait.
Stake this place out.
Till Hogan
wait till
shows
I see
up.
A bandana.
So the very next day, Monday, we're at the CVS right by Hulk Hogan's.
Uh-huh.
My girlfriend's like, hey, you want to see if Hogan's there? And I was like, well, you know, if we're walking by, I guess we can take a little peek.
Mm-hmm.
And we look in there, see some people, more than the none that are usually in there, and we're like, maybe.
It's just a small crowd. Maybe Beefcake's in there.
Yeah, it could be. Oh, if only. And then we get a little closer to the shop, and I see that big head just in the back of the, very back of the
like
store.
Like an orange on a toothpick.
Yeah, it really was. I was like, holy shit, it's a fucking Hulkster, you know? And like,
I'd recognize those sad dog eyes anywhere.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've never met Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And
I've randomly slapped his hand at the Valparaiso University venue there they got.
See,
I've gotten to the man.
I've never seen him live, period.
Never had Hulk Hogan in your life right in front of you.
So
larger than life.
You know, I'm like, fuck, like, it's the Hulkster, like, and I'm just randomly seeing him. It's not like I paid money
look,
to see him.
It's a cartoon character brought to life.
So it's like, whoa, here we go. Let's go into the store, make our way to the back. He's got, like, two, like, assistants or something working with him, like, 40-year-old.
Beefcake and Jimmy Hart. I know exactly. Yeah.
No, these guys moved around a lot better and were just bigger.
And one of them seemed like they might be, like, a younger brother of Jim Varney. Because if Varney has any siblings, you know, like, all these Florida celebrities got to run circles,
it's
got to
be, yeah,
tight fucking
the same
circles.
Peoples. Nobody really had a Varney quality
about
them.
No Varney vibe? That's a shame.
They seemed like Florida's version of Hollywood, though.
Oh, wow.
So that makes sense.
Sounds very fancy. Yeah. Well,
they could be from Hollywood, Florida.
Panhandle side of Florida's version of Hollywood? Because that's a different version than the Miami side of Florida's.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Definitely Panhandle. Yeah. Not Miami. Uh-huh. No. Yeah. They weren't Hispanic. So, is that racist?
They weren't Will Smith.
They were not Will Smith. We did see some high-end Scientologist.
Oh,
but anyway, burying the lead here.
They own the whole town of Clearwater,
they
right?
They do.
Yeah. Yeah. I
so,
know about that.
We're in there. I walk back and I'm just like, fucking Hulk Hogan, man. And he's like, hey, how you doing, brother? And I'm like, kind of stunned. He's like, you know, stun's not a bad way to be sometimes.
That's true, yeah.
And I'm like,
wise words.
Motherfucker,
much
like,
love.
Just dropping just Twitter-like wisdom on people all the time.
Man,
not just some of the time.
Machine, man.
And so he's sitting in the stool just autographing shit the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And his assistants, of course, going to the business center. And they're like, hey, you know, you go buy a shirt, you go buy something, you bring it all back here.
Yeah, spend some money.
Hulkster will sign it
spread
for you.
Spread around some green.
Get a little picture with them. And it's like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. Like, it's worth it to get a dumb Hulk Hogan shirt with his signature on there. He's going to die someday and I can sell it for more than it's worth, you know? I'm thinking. I'm all about the long con, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah.
Ooh, that's when my mind would start racing then. I'm like, oh, what's the weirdest thing in this building right now
right.
I can buy and
I
can sign?
And
I need to find something totally weird.
I spent a lot of time going back and forth. I ended up going with the traditional yellow shirt with the red print Hulkamania, you know. Figure that's timeless and it'll always be worth money. But they did have his original white t-shirt, the American Made with the star.
Ooh, I like that, yeah.
And I was like, that's kind of cool, but like, is that going to be one of those things that like only hardcores are going
to
want?
I'm trying to sell this shit in my like fucking local flea market. I want something that's going to appeal to the rubes.
Yeah, so I went Hulkamania, you know? So I get back there and he's just sitting on that stool and they got the WWE Network just playing the whole time, just playing Hulk Hogan matches. And it's
like heaven. Every time you go to Florida and come back with Florida stories, I'm like, why don't I live in Florida? Why
we really
I
need
packed
to just
up
move
all
down
my
there.
Shit and move to Florida?
I don't know. And this was the first time ever. Like, I've been to Florida a million times now. We go there like once, twice a year. And this is the first time I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep an eye out for wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I found three of them.
This is why the last time I was in O'Hare, I was like, I need to keep an eye out for wrestlers. And when I was getting drunk as shit at the Chili's too, sure enough, here comes Roddy Strong. And I was just like, hey, look, there's a wrestler. I knew if I kept my eyes open, I'd see one eventually.
Did he remember you from when we drank at...
Oh, no, Nina's, I didn't approach him.
Nina's 2 or whatever
I
it was.
I was far too...
What was that pizza place?
Yeah, it was right outside of that ROH venue. They
Chicago
used to do
Ridge.
Chicago Ridge. It's like Rosa's or something.
Rosa's.
Maybe.
Yeah, Rosa's yeah. Pizzeria.
Home of the double-decker pizza.
That's where we saw that very young girl drop a drink on the ground, and, yeah, then Roderick Strong just pointed and laughed at her.
Sure did.
Not like in a... we're having fun comedic
no,
kind of way,
like,
but
I'm
in like
a
bully
frat boy asshole
yeah,
way.
You're a stupid little child.
So anyways, yeah, like, you know, O'Hare, it's fucking crazy. And I was not giving up my stool mm-hmm. at the Chili's 2 to go try to talk to Roddy Strong.
No.
But I did, you know, look at him and be like, oh, I saw a wrestler. I knew I could do it if I put my mind to it.
You should have waved him over, just done like the, don't like get excited for who he is.
No,
just give like, him like the, we have business to
hey,
talk
buddy.
About. Yeah, hey, come here, pal. And then he's just going to be like, do I know this guy? And he'll come over, and then you just be like, I'm finishing up here in a second.
Buddy, I need to talk to you.
You want the stool when I'm done? Stand here behind me. I think you could have really hit him with that. So they got this early 80s Hogan versus Bob Backlund match going.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, I wanted to ask Hogan, like, you get tired of watching this shit?
This
like
is what before you, he was like
Hulkamania,
before that was he was playing the heel against the babyface Bob Backlund. Is that the story?
I didn't
here?
Watch too close, but
he
I would assume.
Pin, I guess I can't imagine any babyface versus babyface once Hogan was a full timer in the WWF.
So I'm like thinking to myself, like I want to ask him, like you get like tired of seeing that? Like if you were a Metallica, you'd probably get tired of hearing Inner Sandman, you know?
On the other hand, like if you were Kiss,
yeah.
like I'm sure fucking those dudes are just listening to Kiss
That's
all day
fair.
Long, just like jacking off.
And even though on the other hand, Hogan was almost the bass player for Metallica, Hogan is way more Kiss because
yeah,
he didn't
for sure.
seem to mind. Like, I just...
He's fucking... Metallica is all up their ass. We saw that when Napster happened. Kiss, Hogan, these people are classic carnies, man.
My greatest takeaway from this whole experience was spending, like, one solid minute just watching Sad Dog Eyes Hogan sitting in the stool because it hurts to stand, staring up at a flat screen on the wall. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was the wrestler moment, man.
You've seen me.
And he's just watching. He's just watching this video of himself wrestling Backlund. And he's got that fucking Uncle Rico look in his eyes. It's just like, just put me in. We were in state.
I bet I could big boot down the Redwood Forest right now.
And it was just such an amazing experience to just like, you figure this guy would be like tired of it, but there he was just like thinking about like, you know, his head's turning like, should I talk to Vince? Should I set up another match?
I'm just going to shoot him a text. Let him know I'm thinking about
just
him.
Let him know. Hey.
Hey, Vince.
Hope you're doing well.
Think about you.
Best regards.
Much love. HH.
HH, yeah. So I walked away from him, you know, got the shirt, took a little picture. It was nice. And then at the airport coming home, it was like Tampa airport, gonna see wrestlers.
Sure.
See a guy walk in. I'm like,
that's Wrestler Central.
I'm like, it's fucking Epico.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that was Epico.
Yeah. And then you're, oh, no, it's just. There's four guys around him, too, that I also thought were Epico.
That's fair.
There's just a bunch of Puerto Ricans in this airport.
But I was like, I think that's Epico. And then, like, he walks away, and then I'm doing, like, I'm trying too hard. You know, I'm trying to make this too hard. And then, like, maybe 5 minutes later, Big E walks in, and I'm like, that's fucking Big E Langston. Like, I know for a fact. And so...
Not too many people look like Big E Langston, I'll tell you that much right now.
I'm in line waiting to check my bags, and he's walking past. I say, hey... Biggie. He's like, what's up, man? I got the phone. I'm like, can I get a quick selfie? He stops.
Thinks about it.
Yeah, he thinks about it. And then he just goes.
Another one of these assholes.
Yeah. And then just stands behind me and makes dumb faces, which you turned into a clever Brazers picture.
Well, yeah, it looked like you were about to get butt fucked by him.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It's pretty I'll put that up
on the Instagram.
Yeah, we'll throw that up there. You're all going to love it. So, yeah, Ronda Rousey or Nia Jax, who you got?
Okay, that was our modern day wrestling news segment for the week. After that, we always go into our rundown of our weekly review.
This egg drink's delicious.
I'm glad you're enjoying the egg drink. This week's rundown is brought to us by Rum Flips. My personal recipe I just did was 1.5 ounce Smith & Cross Jamaican rum. That's Navy Strength. That's pot stilled. Very funky.
You can taste it.
1/2 St. Elizabeth's Allspice Dram. Got that nice pimento flavor. Very Christmassy. 1/2 ounce Demerara syrup. 1 whole egg. Some fresh grated nutmeg on top. We're going to call this, in honor of its two Jamaican spirits that I've combined together, we're going to call it the Kofi Kingston Flip.
Jamaican me crazy.
That's our new drink, the Kofi Kingston Flip. It's our Christmas drink. I've been drinking Christmas drinks 2 days straight now. So much heavy cream.
Jamaican
so
me crazy. Vintage Kofi.
Who is the announcer that did that all the time?
Michael Cole, man.
That was Michael Cole said yeah. Jamaican. I was thinking for a minute. I was like, was that brief period where they had Mike Adamley on a commentary?
No, but his famous line was Jeff Harvey.
Cole. Sure. This is the rundown of Saturday night's main event.
Seriously, though?
From April 30th.
That guy's got CTE.
1988.
Shame on all of you for laughing at
Adamley, yeah, it has come out that he was like, yeah, brain dead during that whole WWE run, and that's
which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, he definitely seemed brain dead.
Like when
it was not the classic American Gladiators Mike Adamley that we all knew and loved. Was clear
when he went radio silent with Taz, and Taz was told by Vince, just start yelling at him.
I don't think that I've heard that story. That sounds pretty fun.
Look into that.
I'm gonna Bing that as soon as this is over. You know how much I love Taz stories
and Bing.
Saturday night's main event, April 30th, 1988. Our first match, Hacksaw Jim Duggan in there versus the Mighty Hercules. Herc ends up getting disqualified when Heenan jumps in to break up a pin. It looked like Duggan had the match won. Heenan breaks up that pin. And then, you know, Andre was out there too. So he steps in after this DQ. And they just start three-way beating down on old Hacksaw there. Just wearing him out until our man, the Ultimate Warrior, runs down to make the save.
Fuck Jigsaw Jim, and fuck yeah to three ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next match, Danny Davis versus Brutus the fucking Beefcake. Brutus Beefcake.
Who I might have seen while I was in Florida. Yeah, I probably saw him.
Looking pretty bad
these days.
A little more modern wrestling news. I heard something about him holding up a promoter. Like he got paid and then didn't show up to like 6 shows on like a tour up in Canada or something. So
nice.
Beefcake's gonna Beefcake.
You know what?
What's up?
Mad props to Beefcake he's still getting money.
That's old
pre-show
school wrestling shit there. If you're going to fucking...
If you're dumb
enough
to pay
with
that guy in advance...
You're paying in advance, that's what's going to happen to you, you fucking moron.
Yeah, you don't...
Get out of the wrestling business if you can't handle it.
You don't get a lawyer. You don't bitch about it on the internet. Mm-mm, you just go, son of a bitch, I'm not going to tell anybody about this.
Motherfucker got me. Beefcake, he gets Danny Davis in the sleeper. Mercifully short match, because these two together, woof. Davis gets that haircut, that post-match haircut. We got a WWF title match right now. Macho Man, this is his first fucking televised title defense against the one-man gang.
Who is Macho out there with?
Macho's out there with Elizabeth!
You mean that...
Elizabeth!
You mean that old bony-legged woman?
That's right. Slickster's out there with One Man Gang, and that plays into our finish here, where Slickster, you know, One Man Gang's holding Macho. Slickster's gonna hit Macho with the cane. Macho moves.
Oh,
One Man
it.
Gang hits hit with the cane. He's down on the ground, just loopy. Macho hits him with his big top rope elbow. It's over, man.
He was so close to winning the strap.
Also, Elizabeth's dress looked lovely tonight.
That old bony-legged woman.
She looked lovely. Next match, our tag team champions Demolition are in there versus the British Bulldogs. End of the match comes when the Bulldogs break Fuji's cane in half, just start wearing out Demolition with both halves of the cane. They get disqualified. These guys are supposed to be the good guys, ladies and gentlemen. They're taking a page out of the Dusty Rhodes playbook.
Is this 80s wrestling we're watching?
Seems like it. Our next match, the Million Dollar Man,
Multi-Million Dollar Man.
Versus The Rock, Don Morocco. DiBiase wins after a body slam, but, you know, it wasn't a real finish.
It was a scoop slam.
Morocco has his foot on the ropes the whole time. He's even pointing to his foot on the ropes. Referee still counts to three. This ref's a fucking idiot, man.
Or is he paid
He should be
for?
Fired.
Is he bought and
This
paid
man should be
for?
Fired. Our big final match.
It's been building up to this.
Rick Rude.
All night.
Ravishing Rick Rude All night. Out there versus the Birdman, Coco Beware. Rude wins handily with a rude awakening. That's our rundown. Now we move on into the five count, where we both pick 5 points that jumped out to us when we were watching this, and we dig a little deeper into the show. What's your first point, Matthew?
I just want to say real quick, you were talking Demolition. It reminded me last night. Not the same team, but along the same lines, because they're WWF's version of it. Had dinner with Davey R. Scheister, his wife and child, my niece, Cora. I've taught her the Ric Flair woo, where I just say, hey, what does Ric Flair say? To which she answers with the woo and the four fingers. It's been a while since we've done it, but we did it last night, and she still remembers.
You need to teach her. You need to be like, what's Ric Flair say? And then she says, no hair, no flair.
No hair, so no
you gotta
flair.
You got to teach her about Flair's famous, I will only fuck women
the
with
real,
pubic hair.
The real Flair lines. So she still remembered it, much to her mother's dismay, but then later on she started wilding out, and she let out with a real long, and so then I taught her to finish it up with,
what a rush.
Correct.
Tony Schiavone, don't you look swell today? Oh boy. Hey, listen up. There's been a lot of sports writers and sports editors flapping their yaps about us getting soft. Does this look soft to you, Paul? Does this look soft to you? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, there's one part of our bodies that's soft, and it ain't soft all the time, if you catch my meaning. Ric Flair, New York City Ric Flair, you're gonna find out what hard is all about.
And then all night when she was wilding out, it was just, oh, what a rush.
Poor kid's gonna have no friends, just gonna like get there in like kindergarten and just not understand why everybody hates her.
Cause
not going to be her fault.
She's just doing that Ultimate Warrior series of like three clotheslines into the big splash.
Not going to be her fault.
Nope. My number one, what are we watching?
Saturday night's main event on the NBC network.
That can only mean one thing. We're starting the show with fucking intros, buddy.
Yeah, I love these intros.
Whatever, I don't care.
Whatever green screen technology they had this time was looking pretty shoddy.
Well, either way, that's it's 1988. They get a pass.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Either fucking way, I love these intros. I don't care how many of these Saturday night main events we
Stand
do.
Stand in front of a green screen. Whatever little Yell logo shit. The art department came up for you is projected behind you.
Do a quick Rudy toot toot.
Yell shit about
let
whoever
Let me
you're
know when the camera's
night.
Rolling and then just let it fly,
Why
man.
Doesn't every wrestling show start with this shit?
Like... Oh, it's so good. I don't care. Again, it's probably going to be my number one on every Saturday night main event
Everybody's
we do.
Everybody's always trying to tell me I need to start watching wrestling again every time like one little good thing happens. I say everyone. Like I talk to people about wrestling. What I mean is my cousin, the only person who ever tells me anything. He's like, oh, this is good, this is good, this is good. I think maybe if like I heard from him, they're like, oh, they're starting to do fucking green screen promos to start every show again. I'd be like... Yeah. Let me start watching wrestling again. That sounds pretty great.
Nate, this is like the second time this month that they've started off an episode of Raw with the green screen promos.
You know I've got that WWE network because of this podcast. I probably could just start watching Raws. What are they, like a month behind or something on the
network? I don't...
Actually, they're on
Hulu. They're on
Hulu. I've got Hulu.
Oh, I'm going to tell you
right now. If they start doing that, I'll start watching it on Hulu. I'm going to throw that challenge out to Vince McMahon right now.
You can already watch Raw on Hulu because they cut it down to 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah. I think 90 minutes, actually.
Yeah, I think you're right because with commercials and everything. I've done that a few times.
I mean,
much better way to watch.
If I was going to watch
Raw,
if like they made it a law I had to, I would definitely watch the Hulu version with all the fucking filler cut out. That's for damn sure.
And
why anybody watches the fucking live broadcast the full 3 hours is beyond me.
Internet dorks, shame on you. y'all keep being like, ugh, like the trendy thing on Instagram.
They cut out the Epico match. What the fuck?
Well, you know, not that, but they keep, people are starting to do the old thing from a couple years ago when they had the Sweet Six or whatever on SmackDown.
Oh, the SmackDown Six? Yeah. Paul Heyman era?
Yeah.
I'm familiar with some of these terms.
People are starting to be like, hey, SmackDown's the better show. SmackDown's the better show. Mm-hmm. They're doing that again. And it's like, yeah.
But you know what's the real better show?
It's 2 fucking hours.
90-minute Hulu Raw.
Yeah.
Probably.
Where's the 90-minute Hulu Raw contingency, you know?
We're starting it right now. It's me.
You and I, we're at the forefront of it, brother. You got a number one?
Yeah, sure. I'll talk a little bit about that Brutus Beefcake-Danny Davis match. Not the match, but the post-match.
Let me get the Hacksaw and Hercules out of the way,
okay,
then.
Okay, we can
That's
go back
my
there.
Number two.
We can go back there.
I'm just going to get it out of the way since we're on the way there. I just want to say, good match, because it worked for what it was. Two brawlers.
I felt like
they
worked
well together.
Really starting to enjoy it right before it ended. Like, I feel like if they got another 5 minutes, I would have been like, please just punch.
But that's where WWF was smart. Instead of a 20-minute match that you didn't want to fucking see like WCW gives you.
All the time.
They give you this. He's not really feuding with Herc, but they give you enough to be like,
he's
ooh.
He's feuding with Andre, who's in the Heenan family.
You could go back to this at some point.
It's a nice little way to build the feud without having the guys who are feuding wrestle each other over and over and over and over again. This is one of the great things about stables, which they don't do anymore.
So these guys just fucking go back and forth at it a little bit. The entire match is pretty much just Hacksaw looking at the outside ring and just thinking about getting his hands on whoever the fuck. And it works because it's not the main event. It's not the title picture.
You get some burly guys brawling.
It's a secondary story with one of your biggest stars, Andre the Giant. It's making Hacksaw look legit. And way to build some fucking story.
There we go. Building up that Andre Hacksaw feud. We got money on the table here. Okay, that Beefcake Danny Davis match. I just want to talk about the finale of it after it's over. Brutus Beefcake puts him out in the sleeper. Cuts his hair like he does, and like he's taunting Jimmy Hart the whole time,
right?
Because Jimmy Hart got his hair cut at WrestleMania 4, if you remember. So he's wearing that beret around everywhere, and
which looks cool.
Pulling out some more gear. He's got some like spray paint and shit. He's spray painting white stripes in Danny Davis's head. He's got black and white stripes now, just
which
like
is
his
where
referee outfit.
The band, the white
he's
stripes,
doing all
got
the
their
stylists
name.
Stuff, and you know, it goes on for a long time. Finally, Beefcake slaps him a few times, wakes him up. Shows him in the mirror how stupid he looks. Danny Davis is
pissed.
Incredulous. Ugh. He's pissed off. So then Beefcake starts whooping his ass more. And my question to you is, the guy was out for like 5 minutes while this has happened to him. Do you think he's got brain damage from this, man? this seemed like he could have seriously been hurt. You put somebody in a sleeper and then he's unconscious for 5 minutes afterwards?
You're
cutting off all that oxygen to his brain.
See, this isn't CTE, which is more my specialty because I have it.
Yeah, true.
This is just
really bad.
Cutting off oxygen to it's for the scientists.
But we play the knockout game thing a lot too, where we choke each other out until we pass out.
Yeah.
So we probably got a lot of brain damage from lack of oxygen.
The knockout game.
Nothing more fun than tying one on at the local bar and then being like, "Let's put each other in sleepers until we're knocked out."
Yep. And then you go home, you sit on your hand for 5 minutes till it falls asleep and give yourself the old Australian stranger.
That's right, because all the women are weirdly weirded out at the bar once we start putting each other in sleepers until we're unconscious.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? We're just, you know, peacocking a little bit.
And then you're
guy can't
like,
go into a bar and peacock a little bit? Y'all like, getting nervous?
Let me show you. And then they run. It's weird. It's awkward. They make it awkward.
Fucking these modern women.
The Danny Davis versus
Feminazis,
Brutus, though.
That's what I like to call him.
Amen, brother. I blame Billary.
Oh, man.
Oh, don't get me started.
Suck.
Don't get me started.
Fucking, they suck.
Danny Davis versus Brutus. I just want to give this a little bit of love. Yeah, it wasn't a good match.
No, it was awful. It was like 2 minutes long, and they still managed to like fumble around and have bad timing and run into each other a couple times.
Here's the thing, man. WCW can't do this. WWF has. You got Brutus
mm-hmm.
just pissed off at Jimmy fucking Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter who Jimmy Hart has out there with him, as long as he's associated with Jimmy Hart.
Oh, look, another way to further a stable or further a feud by having somebody feud with the person they're feuding or fight the person they're feuding with stablemate.
Yeah.
I got it out eventually.
It doesn't matter. You get what we're trying to fucking
Vince
say.
Vince McMahon, like, maybe if you had some stables, you wouldn't have to keep recycling this booking thing you do now where the two guys who are feuding just fight every single week until everybody's sick of seeing them, and then you try to get people to, like, pay for it. Not really.
Yeah, fight
no
forever.
Anymore,
go fuck yourself.
Why would I watch two guys fight on a pay-per-view if they've already fought eight times leading up to it? It's stupid. It's asinine.
Yeah.
Put these guys in stables, have him run through all his fucking stable mates video game style until he gets to the big boss. That's a good way to do a feud.
He made people care about Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake.
Well, Beefcake's pretty cool. We established
that. Hell yeah. And I really like his tights tonight.
Oh, yeah.
With the pink fishnet down the
pink
side.
Pink and black fucking stripes alongside Danny Davis's white and black stripes, I feel like.
But the pink fishnet down the side.
Oh, the pink fishnet's fucking classy as shit.
That's a little flash forward to Booty Man right there.
I bet he was at one of those fucking Tampa strip clubs and he was just like, that guy's pretty hot in that pink fishnet. Next time I make some gear, I'm going to get some of that going on.
Now you said he's at a strip club, and then you said that guy's pretty hot?
Sure, yeah.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, no, it makes sense. That makes sense.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, where are we at? That was two for you, three for me.
I've done one. Let me go to a two.
Yeah, go to a two.
My two is that I just really liked the Demolition promo before their match.
Okay.
They threatened to dip Matilda in molten metal to make a metal statue of her, and then mount her on the front of Mr. Fuji's Winnebago.
They were going to, what did they keep saying? I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
Either way, I think that's a great threat,
threatening
to kill somebody's dog.
Yeah.
I think it's a very creative way to kill somebody's dog. And then I've learned now because of this that Mr. Fuji has a Winnebago. I like thinking about that.
Yeah.
Fuji is like one of those like Winnebago life people maybe. He's driving around the country, going to all the state parks and stuff, just seeing the world.
I was
inviting people back to his Winnebago to have some beers.
They really hit me with the old bait and switch. Like, I was waiting for him to be like, I'm Mr. Fuji's Cadillac or Mr. Fuji's Royal Royce. And they were like, I'm Mr. Fuji's Winnebago.
This is a lot of fun for me. Like, my mind started going. I'm getting a lot of backstory, a demolition of Mr. Fuji now just in my head.
Right.
I'm building out their characters just in my head just from this one little thing they mentioned.
Thinking about, like,
it's a lot of fun to me.
Axe and Smash wearing those leather daddy hoods,
mm-hmm.
just, like, rolling around in the back, like, just terrorizing bags of Cheetos.
Hey,
and just
Fuji,
being like,
can we stop in the Smoky Mountains State Park on our way into Memphis?
Hey, Tootie.
Oh, my demolition.
An hour behind. We need to drive straight through.
You know Fuji's got a no number two rule in his Winnebago bathroom, too. You can go back there and piss, but he finds out you've been dropping any deuces in his Winnebago.
You've got muscles to hold that.
You're going
to
be getting that Fuji cane upside your head, I guarantee it.
He's on that like strict rice fish diet, so like his dukes are very controlled and scheduled.
Yeah, once every 3 weeks.
And you know
he drops a pellet.
Again, Axe and Smash are just ripping through bags of Cheetos and Doritos back there.
I imagine them eating pork rinds. They feel like pork rinds men to me.
Chicharrones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Delicious.
I can't stand those. The smell alone.
I literally don't think I've ever ate a pork rind once. In my mind, they're just something that like showed up in sitcoms in the 80s. So you can make jokes about like men being slobs.
I'm going to need you to stand up and then sit back down so that you can sit down for this.
Okay.
Standing.
Okay.
Sitting.
Sat down,
okay. Yeah. You're sitting down now.
Ready for it.
Maria loves pork rinds.
Oh, man, if there's anybody I know who reminds me of just a slobby male from an 80s sitcom, it's definitely that chick.
Yeah, I'm dating an attractive Al Bundy.
Mm-hmm. Al Bundy's attractive. Come on.
That's fair. That was your two?
Yeah.
What's your next one?
Okay, these are real quick. Like, there's not much that I really want to dig into on a deep level from this show. It was all kind of just bam, like short matches to the point, pushing storylines forward. It was very serviceable. I just want to talk about Don Morocco, probably had the most boring match with Ted DiBiase I've ever seen. Yeah. Every time I see Don Morocco do something, I hate him more and more. There's specifically like a power slam he did that was so loose and sloppy where he wasn't controlling DiBiase's body that he like just put him down directly on the back of his head. It looked pretty painful. And I was like, that's fucking Ted DiBiase, man. He's the number one heel in this company right now. You got to take care of him, you big fucking burly, clumsy idiot.
Yeah.
Don Morocco, he was around for so long at the top of the card. I don't get it. I hate him.
He's got to have some kind of like injuries and like steroid abuse injuries to where like he can't really feel his extremities.
One of the more bloated physiques on this fucking roster. This roster of fucking bloated physiques. Just way too much mass for his frame. It looks weird.
And like he's getting up there in years, so I'm just going to assume like he got Million Dollar Man up, but like he can lift you no problem, but he just has no feel. Just like his arms are just logs, like just limp logs, and he doesn't know where they're going or what they're doing. My point in this match is it's already late in the show. We got Million Dollar Man versus Don Morocco, which they told me about in advance, and I'm like, okay, that's happening. I'm gonna sit through this, I'm gonna watch this. And then the match starts, and they're like, and don't forget, after this, Rick Rude and Coco Beware. And I did the fucking NWA's World Championship Wrestling look at the fucking runtime and been like, what? What? We should be done.
I don't know. I felt like the show went pretty quick to me. It was only a little over an hour with the commercials cut out.
It was. It wasn't long.
It's that classic Saturday night's main event structure where the main match goes halfway through because it's late on Saturday. The kids are going to have to go to bed. Yeah. They wanted them to see Macho's title match, put the kids to bed, and then the rest of it's just filler.
But again, I felt like we were getting bamboozled where they're like, we're going to shoehorn in one more. We can fit it, damn it.
Well, you know, I'm always... I see your point. It doesn't make for the best television, but it's like that Saturday Night Live fucking deal where they put all the weird experimental fucking matches on in that last half hour because I'm sure it's just because they know their viewership has dropped off to nothing at that point. Everybody's asleep. Nobody's watching anymore.
But on the other side of that coin, my number five is, hey, Rick Rude and Coco was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Like, wrestling-wise, it is my favorite thing on the...
Yeah.
You know, Rick Rude's great. Coco, jump around, make a lot of movement.
This was just two fucking workers at, like, the top of their game right here. It was just a fun time.
My number four is the thing that stood out to me the most in this match that I really liked is during Rick Rude's pre-match spiel that he always does when they put the camera on that real pimply-faced teenage girl who was licking her lips and getting a total white on over Rick Rude's body.
I paused it and turned it back 10 seconds to cue it back up. Made the little lady pay attention. I said, take a look at it. She's turning into a big Rick Rude fan.
Check out Pizza Face over here.
She's turning into a big Rick Rude fan because she's seeing just how gorgeous he is and all that.
Sex on two legs.
And I'm like, you know, she knows the bit.
Two long, well-toned legs.
She knows the bit where he comes out and he dances for the ladies. I was like, this is one of the ultimates, like one of the classics. And I believe one of our friends on the Instagram just posted this days prior.
Oh, just this particular pimply face
girl? This one
girl?
In particular. And it's fucking Rick starts it with the fucking swivel. And it's pimply face, like top ponytailed, white Christmas sweater. And she just does like the hands over my mouth like I can't believe it. And then they turn into like a dragging like,
she was, like a
down her face.
Beatlemania
like,
reaction
oh,
going on.
Give it to me. And then just hands out like,
yeah. I want him to touch all over my awkward, gangly teenage body.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was one of the best cutting the camera to Rick Rude pre-match girls I've ever seen.
You've seen
There's that one who's like the 80s hot chick who like really just like licking her lips dramatically that you always see in GIFs and shit around the internet. She's top tier, definitely. But this one
but this
super
is like
good
straight
too.
Up like a 16, 17-year-old girl just like...
Very awkward.
Who went
just at
home
that awkward age.
And just fucking sat under that streaming bathtub water for like a good half hour. When
little brother's
show was
pounding on the
night.
Door. Sis,
I got poop.
Get in here.
I got poop.
Go away, Jared.
I'm taking a bath.
Why's the water still running? Should be full by now.
We know why the water was running. You do, honey.
Yeah.
That was my number four. And to wrap it all up with my number five, the last little moment that I loved is the last little moment of the show where Vince and Jesse are signing off. They're talking about how we're not going to get another Saturday Night's main event till next fall.
Yeah.
And Jesse Ventura is just like, oh, that's great news. I don't have to deal with you until fall then. I hate seeing you, McMahon, or whatever. And then Vince McMahon does a great little comedic thing that made me laugh hard, where he just, for a second, like puts his finger up like he's going to say some sort of retort, but then just gets a real depressed hangdog look on his face and then stares directly into the camera like Jim from The Office. I was like, that's some great physical comedy, Vince. That's some good shit.
I did not notice that.
And it just ends with Vince staring into the camera looking depressed like, oh, Jesse doesn't like me as a human being.
I thought we were buddies. Thought we were pals.
A little bit more subtle than what I expect out of Vince McMahon, this response here. And it threw me for a loop and really made me laugh hard because of that.
My favorite Vince moment of the night was during that Beefcake match.
Yeah.
When he sprayed that B onto Danny Davis, to which Vince yells, B for Beefcake! Yeah!
Man, you can say a lot about him, but you can't say that he's not able to connect the dots. The guy's connecting dots all over the place.
Yeah, he was killing it in the 80s, man.
It's because he was still on all the cocaine.
Yeah.
That's the problem with him these days. Like, I look at him and I'm like, when's the last time that guy fucking Rudy Toot-tooted?
Yeah, he's still on the steroids.
He needs it to live.
He's still on the steroids.
Clearly, he's still on the steroids.
But
you need that perfect storm cocktail of steroids and cocaine that was everywhere in the 1980s and that we've stupidly said is, like, not acceptable anymore.
What he needs to do is pick a handful of his closest and be like, you're going to party with me. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get tested.
He's fucking old. Like, what's
gonna
he care at this point?
You.
He's a billionaire.
Yeah,
he's old.
We're just going to fucking fake test
football
you.
Leagues? He should just be like, I'm getting way back into drugs.
Yeah,
kinda, why the fuck not?
Kind of hurt. Chicago's not getting an XFL team this time around.
I'm super pissed. What happened to the Chicago Hitmen?
Yeah.
We were a very loyal fan base for you, Vince.
Well.
You want to go to some commercials?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so.
We'll go to some commercials.
Okay.
Come back with a three count.
Works.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Did you know that Eddie Murphy Raw is on video cassette?
It's on video cassette?
Yes.
What do you think of Eddie Murphy in Raw?
He's a comic genius.
I would like to talk to you.
He's such a versatile performer.
Aww.
Eddie Murphy's got chemistry.
I mean, it's good, clean, and wholesome.
Yeah, that's it.
That is, show is funny, ain't it?
It was raw.
It was funny.
Raw.
Funny.
Eddie Murphy Raw from Paramount at video stores everywhere.
You change the way you look. Can you see that? Up close, it's exciting. And I'll tell you something, darling, you look marvelous.
No other taste attracts so much attention.
Absolutely marvelous.
Diet Pepsi, the most refreshingest invention.
And not only do you look marvelous, my little 12-ounce darling, but you taste marvelous.
No other taste attracts so much attention.
This tastes marvelous.
I stroke it to the east. I stroke it to the west. I stroke it to the woman that I love best. I've been stroking.
Our guy Clarence Carter, he helped us out in that break there.
Turns out you can't post U2 songs to Instagram without them getting ripped right down. What the fuck's up with that?
But you make a quick phone call to your buddy Clearance Carter, and he
got that
he
clearance.
Comes through.
Got better clearance. Music for our video we're posting.
It's all about clearance from Clarence.
He's been saying that for years,
yeah.
Man. It's pretty much his mantra these days.
People are going to be talking about this video for years to come. It's the way it should have been made.
What if people did start talking about this Instagram video you just posted, like, for years?
Yeah.
It took the world by wildfire.
Yeah.
And everybody's can't stop talking about it. That'd be a weird world we lived in.
I'd like to be that.
You'd like to just be one of those people who got famous for putting something dumb on the internet.
Oh, yeah. That's,
yeah, that'd be.
I don't have much more to offer.
Sweet as fuck, man. I'd be super into that.
I've got a couple dumb internet things I'm waiting to post and see if they could be the thing.
Yeah, just sitting on them. Maybe
yeah,
the right
like,
time,
yeah.
Right place.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Time. I put it out there.
Half the battle right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, You don't. You just Iron's post something. It could catch fire. You could post something. It could just be forgotten. It's all about when you're posting that shit.
You see, Nate, comedy is a fickle, fickle mistress.
That's very true.
That's about.
I tried to fuck comedy once for a summer. Oh, no. It didn't work out.
No, yeah. Comedy fucks you, pal. It's all about timing. It's all about having a feel.
Sad childhood.
Little pulse on society. Oh yeah, that too. A lot of it's self-loathing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
You got to hate yourself a little bit, and not just anybody can do comedy, Nate.
I think that's definitely true. That was proven with Joe Piscopo's Saturday Night Live run.
Agree to disagree.
Wow. Yeah. Piscopo make your top 10 SNL alum, would you say?
His
somewhere up in your top 10?
His chairman of the board impersonation is Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. That was,
you know, a lot of people want to talk
one thing that got him on the show Phil consistently. Hartman's,
but
Phil Hartman, overrated. Yeah. Piscopo's that sweet spot, that, man. Yeah.
And then when he got like really into lifting after Saturday Night Live, and he was just like roided for no reason.
It's like when I'm thinking Carrot Top. When Carrot Top got roided out.
Yeah.
Just like, I love comedians who get like fucking roided out after just like not being famous anymore. Just like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to turn into a fucking behemoth.
How much were you working out to be that monster?
Like 3 hours a day. Yeah.
Wow.
A lot. It was ridiculous. I went through it was just like, I'm going to get big. And I started working out. It was crazy. And it was almost an addiction of trying to get big. I think every guy's always, you know, people say, hey, you know, first time a girl grabs your bicep, you're like, ooh, I like that. So then you're thinking, okay, so the next time they grab it, they'll be bigger and they'll be tighter and they'll be impressive. And what I found out was the opposite. People were turned off by it.
Uh-huh.
They didn't like the muscles. They didn't like the way it looked. And the only focus they would have was that. The only focus they would ever say was that. They wouldn't say, wow, you work out. Or if they'd see me and they knew me, Carrot Top, wow, you're on steroids or something? So it wasn't like, you're funny. Really weird. It wasn't like, hey, there's Carrot Top, you're funny. You're like, wow, Carrot Top, you look weird.
That's smart. That's
a way to go, man.
It's good business.
Yakov Smirnoff, I'm looking at you. I know you got all that sweet Branson shit going on, but like, think about how much more you would rule that town if you just did a few cycles and like put on 40 pounds of muscle.
In my country, hat wears you.
Yeah, you stick a needle in your butt and you gain 40 pounds of muscle. What a country.
Oh, what a country. We're not here to talk Yakov Smirnoff, are we? I guess
they got steroids in Russia, too. Rocky IV proved that to us. They were shooting Drago that whole movie.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Though most of the world is ignorant in body chemistry, we wish to educate your country.
There have been rumors of blood doping and widespread distribution of anabolic steroids in the Soviet Union. Has Drago partaken in any such experiments?
No. Ivan is naturally trained.
Then how do you explain his freakish strength?
Like your papa. He ate his spinach every day.
But our three count, we were watching that Saturday night's main event. It got me thinking, what was this? It was a little Dick Ebersol project to put on off nights when Saturday Night Live wasn't airing on NBC. So then I started thinking, you know, Saturday Night Live, Saturday night's main event. Let's do a three count. It sort of throws both of them together. What happened in the 1980s? These two crossing over. You had Hulk Hogan and Mr. T co-host Saturday Night Live before WrestleMania 1. That's what happened. But then what happened after that? I guess people didn't really like Hogan that much because another wrestler didn't get to host Saturday Night Live all the way to the, like, what was it, the late 90s, early 2000s when The Rock did it?
The Rock, yeah.
Yeah, this is a big drought. No wrestlers on Saturday Night Live.
They had a couple of, like, other WWF wrestlers host it, didn't they?
No, not to my knowledge. No? I think it was Hogan before WrestleMania 1 and then Rock.
No, I'm saying after Rock.
Oh, yeah, man, that's possible. Either way, big drought. So our three count for this week, I'm saying, let's go back and revise history here. Let's help these fuckers who didn't know what they were doing. Wrestlers are perfect for Saturday Night Live. So who are your top three 80s wrestlers who you wish could have hosted the show?
I'm so happy you asked.
What are you binging over there?
Just trying to figure out if any other wrestlers hosted Saturday Night Live. And for whatever reason,
Big Show did really well, I remember, during those Rock ones.
Yeah.
But I don't think he ever like hosted
Big
on
Show
his own.
And Triple H, I think, were in a skit with The Rock.
Triple H, we've commented on many times. Funny man. His best shit is when he's doing fucking comedy.
You
for
kidding
sure.
me? Everything he does is the best.
I love dicks.
Katie?
I love them all, and I don't discriminate either. I like big ones, I like small ones, I like fat ones, I like skinny ones, I like long ones, I like short ones, I like white ones, I like black ones, hell, I'll even do an Asian.
Good Lord.
My number one for the 80s.
Okay, getting into this three count. Counting it up.
Movie star.
Wow.
Check.
Uh-huh.
80s wrestling star.
Uh-huh.
Check.
Perfect. This guy sounds perfect.
Dynamite on the mic?
Mm-hmm.
Check. Can carry a full talking segment?
Not so much.
Oh, no. You better
oh,
no, believe.
Can? Oh, okay. Good. Good.
Double check.
That monologue wouldn't have gone too well.
Range?
Mm-hmm.
He's got it in spades, pal.
Wow, this guy can do anything, it sounds like.
The only reason he might not have hosted it
mm-hmm.
is because it was Saturday, it was night, but most important,
mm-hmm.
it was live.
Yeah.
He never knew what you were going to get if you would have let the old hot rod.
Oh, a real wild man.
Host a little SNL, man.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, imagine 80s SNL infamous already for all the drug use backstage.
Sure.
You think like...
He would show up on screen with cocaine on his face.
Yeah, you get Hot Rod back there, like him and Victoria Jackson together.
Oh.
I bet fucking within 10 minutes they're snorting coke off Jan Hook's tits.
Oof.
Like that,
Jan Hook
definitely would
known
happen.
Known for that.
Oh, for sure, man.
Yeah, just, whoa. I feel like the Hot Rod.
Mm-hmm.
This could have been a vehicle for him, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Boy's got range. He can do anything.
Well, he definitely could fucking do some comedy bits on SNL. They're reading right off cue cards the whole time.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, like my three count here is where I'm going. I kind of was picking guys, not just that I think would be good on the show, but I think
sure.
that could legitimately have gotten on the show. NBC would have picked and would have made sense. Hot Rod's one of my picks too.
Bam,
man.
There we go.
One of my
double
picks.
Down.
So I'm checking it out. I'm like, when did They Live come out? When do we need to get Hot Rod fucking out there?
88?
It's 1988. Yeah. So, I'm like, who hosted Saturday Night Live the week that fucking, you know, They Live came out? We could have done some
Lay
promo
it on
for that
me.
Shit. Matthew Modine, man.
Oh.
Famous for being hilarious, Matthew Modine.
No one's talking Modine in 88.
What was he promoting in 88? Had to been like Married to the Mob, I think.
Oh,
I think that's what
Jesus.
That movie sucks. They Live was awesome.
Oh.
I bet fucking Married to the Mob made like 4 or 5 times more money than fucking They Live.
Nah.
Shouldn't have happened.
Culturally
shouldn't
relevant.
Shouldn't happened.
Like
if they could have got Hot Rod on SNL,
yeah.
would have been a better show. Would have promoted They Live. Could have got some more fucking money going towards a better movie. They really dropped the ball, man.
You could have done skits making fun of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You could have done a skit where he's doing They Live, but every time he puts on the sunglasses, like he sees something else besides aliens.
Yeah.
He sees like, I don't know, you figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not a comedy
Phil
writer.
Hartman
you
come
do
out and like
not giving you
make some sort of snarky comment about why doesn't he have a Scottish accent. I don't know. Yeah. There's all sorts of funny shit you can do with the Hot Rod.
There's room. There's room. You got fucking Hot Rod.
You got a shared number three here. We might have taken similar approaches to this three count.
Yeah.
Could we go all the way through just like the same picks all the way through? That'd be fun.
We could.
That'd be fun.
I got a
Maybe
number two.
Maybe unprecedented?
I got a
could
number.
It be unprecedented? I don't think
we've
done
gone
that before.
Close.
We've gotten close. I don't think ever all three.
I got a number two.
Okay. I want to hear it.
Just like Matthew Modine was on Saturday Night Live. Sometimes they factor in things like movie star good looks.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe a guy isn't
Modine.
Really...
He's a real dreamboat.
Maybe a guy isn't really known for being funny.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you give him the chance, he can be funny.
That sounds... He's game. He's game for comedy.
Talking about a guy...
You know, like chick comedians. They're not necessarily funny, but they're game to do comedy.
Yeah, but they just never... They just can't get it done. That's all right. That's not on them. That's just science.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy... Somebody did give him a chance once. That
How'd
guy's
go?
Name was Arsenio Hall. And this man delivered.
Come on.
He
put you in front of the dog pound. We'll see how you do.
He delivered in high top Jordans and a bitchin' leopard suit with no shirt underneath.
Yeah.
I'm talking Rick fucking Rude.
Yeah, I've definitely seen the clips of Rick Rude and Bobby Heenan on Arsenio, and it went well, man.
And I'm telling you, you put him on SNL, you're like, look at this good-looking motherfucker.
Oh, man.
Just cracking some jokes. Mm-hmm. He can play the straight man, you know, but He's got those wry jokes, just like when they put Peyton Manning on the Saturday Night Live.
Do like some bits where fucking Ellen Cleghorn's just drooling over those rude abs. Holy shit, man.
He knows how to play that shit. And the best part is, if you put Rick Rude on there, it gives the excuse to get Bobby the Brain Heenan on
Which,
there as well.
I mean, come on.
The greatest comedic mind in wrestling history. Yeah.
You need to get this guy on network television fucking cracking wise. Yeah. Cutting down Jimmy Pardo.
He's just a beautiful man. And he was self-aware.
Yeah,
He knew.
I think that would have went well.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not going all the way through. I did not have Rick Rude on mine. My number two.
Yeah.
Another man, much like Roddy Piper, who is a fucking movie star. He's got movies to promote, man. So why don't you get him out here on these shows promoting the movies? The movie in question came out in 1987. It's The Princess Bride. I'm talking about Andre the Giant.
Anybody want a peanut?
Oh, that's a really good
fucking
pick. How many
bits could you just like build around Andre the Giant being gigantic, for one, and two, just speaking crazy non-English just that nobody can understand? That's comedy gold right there.
I'm picturing like some kind of skit where he's somebody's like overgrown toddler.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds great. I got a little bit of SNL trivia for you.
Okay.
Princess Bride released October 9th, 1987.
Okay.
So that next day, October 10th, I forget what was going on, but
it was released when? October what?
October 9th, 1987. But that next week after that, October 17th, Princess Bride's only in theater for 1 week. You can get Andre talking about it then.
Sure.
First ever appearance of the Hans and Franz characters. Are we talking gold there, right there?
Are you kidding me?
You get Hans and Franz trying to fucking flex on Andre the Giant? That's hilarious shit.
You know, it's funny, I was a writer on Saturday Night Live when you guys were doing Hans and Franz, and I remember the time that Schwarzenegger came, and I didn't realize this at the time, but it was the first time that you guys had sort of met him, and it was sort of a tense situation.
It was very tense, because we were making fun of him, you know, and we thought, doesn't he know we're making fun of him?
Right.
Is he that dumb?
Yeah.
Does he get home before he knows it?
Has happened.
Oh my God, I'm home.
Where am I? So they came in, and then we figured he's coming on the show to kill us.
You thought, because you were a little worried, you thought, I remembered, the way I remembered it is you guys were waiting for him to show up and you were dressed as Hans and Franz
to
rehearse
the sketch. We were dreading him coming. And then they got us, they said, Arnold's in the dressing room, he wants to talk to you guys. And we were like two kids going to the principal's office. You know, we were blaming each other. You came up with it. No, I didn't. You did. I said, no gap between the teeth. I said, no accent. He's going to know it's him. And we get to the dressing room, and his name's on the door. And his name's so long, it went onto the wall a little bit, too, you know? and we open up the door, and it was full of cigar smoke in there. Mm-hmm. And we could see him sitting across the room on a chair, and he had a big cigar in one hand, and he had the script we wrote in the other hand. I'll never forget this. He looked up through the cigar smoke to us, and he goes, hello, fellas. Now, how am I supposed to do the accent?
You know who's fucking hosting that week instead of Andre?
Lay it on me.
Dabney Coleman. And this is years before Drexel's class, so it's not like he's got some Drexel's
and
class.
We're not shit talking Dabney Coleman, because you and I are Dabney Coleman fans.
Oh, for sure.
Big time Coleman guys. But opportunity.
What's he
missed
got to
here.
Promote in 1987?
I don't
Could have
know.
Only been his small role in Dragnet or his forgotten sitcom, The Slap Maxwell Story.
Wow, that's a toss-up. It's got to be Dragnet.
Dabney Coleman didn't need this sort of publicity. Andre needed it.
It's got to be Dragnet because that was a Dan Aykroyd vehicle.
Yeah, that's true. The Aykroyd had to have been his in.
I'm assuming that means Lorne Michaels had to be some kind of producer on this fucking movie here. You figure...
And, you know, Slap Maxwell Story probably would have been much bigger if they would have been talking about it on SNL.
It's Hanks and Aykroyd. Hanks has had to...
He's a sports writer on the Slap Maxwell Story, Matt. His wife wants to start a career, and he's incredulous about it. And he's got a son who's not even into sports.
Oh, I hope there's a lot of jokes about him being one of those lighten the loafers fellas, huh?
I'm going to tell you right now. I guarantee there is.
Yeah. Man, Hanks had to have been on SNL at least twice by then.
Oh yeah, he was.
Dan Aykroyd,
a ton of times,
is from SNL. You know, Lorne Michaels had his dick in Dragnet, the movie.
Oh, for sure.
And that's the only reason.
He's got his
Dabney
dick in a lot of pies,
yeah.
And Dragnet was
Son
one of those
gun.
Pies. Dabney got it done.
Andre got robbed, brother.
It's all about who you know.
My final one.
Final pick.
Is, I'm just going 80s wrestling. He's a huge star. You put Hogan on there, mm-hmm. even though Hogan was in movies. This guy had nothing to promote other than he was in a star in a quarter of the country.
Mm-hmm.
But goddamn was he a
one
star.
One quarter of the entire
I'm
country.
Talking big motherfucking Duth.
Dusty Rhodes?
You put him on SNL, pal.
I was thinking, can Dusty do comedy? But those WWF fucking promos
Dusty
are pretty funny.
Dusty would do anything. Yeah. If there's one thing Dusty's proven
his
in his
plumbing,
career,
his pizza delivering.
He would do anything.
Man's got no shame.
There's at least one skit where Dusty's in drag. Just yeah. being like, oh, well, let me tell you, daddy. You're just such a fine looking man, daddy.
He's game for comedy.
And like, people are like, this is like the hottest girl in school.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
funny stuff
like
right there.
Maybe like the new kid that just transferred. He's like, whoa, this girl right here. And she's like, oh, I think you're really hot, daddy.
Yeah.
And he's all like, ah, this is a bit much for me.
Dennis,
you know?
I was like, oh, you think that's a hot chick, huh? I got news for you, Copernicus.
Yeah, I don't think she's very attractive, pal, you know?
Dennis Miller's hilarious.
Oh, man.
I'd love to see him and Dusty going back and forth.
Oh, Jesus, this writes itself, man.
What?
It's a solid pick.
Why aren't we SNL writers? It sounds easy.
Sounds like we just got to move.
We should go get a job and do that. It sounds really fucking easy.
Yeah, sounds like we'd be good at this.
My number one pick, the guy I feel like they needed to get on this show. They really dropped the ball when they didn't get him on this show. I can't even understand how it didn't happen that he didn't get on this fucking show.
JYD.
Nah, I'm talking the King of Memphis, Tennessee, Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh.
What's the most famous thing that ever happened on NBC in the 1980s? Lawler slapping
on fucking
Kaufman
Letterman.
On Letterman, man. This shit, he slaps Kaufman on Letterman. Andy Kaufman threatens to sue NBC, threatens to bankrupt the channel, buy it, turn it into a 24/7 wrestling show.
Yeah.
This gets in headlines all over the place. Everybody's talking about it. Why don't you capitalize on this shit by bringing Lawler in to host fucking SNL?
Yeah.
That makes this feud even worse. Kaufman's pissed off. He fucking gets all drunk and coked up and crashes the show.
Man.
Makes an ass of himself. You got shoot angles getting cut right and left.
All right, so you get fucking Lorne Michael just be like, hey, I read the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
You want to turn it into an all-wrestling channel? I'll make it a wrestling channel myself. Here's the King
of
Memphis, Tennessee.
Another thing, Lorne Michaels, this is one of those years where Dick Ebersol took over SNL and fucking Michaels was out. Who knows more about wrestling and SNL than Dick Ebersol? He's the guy that's going to get this shit done.
Either way, you just say the heads of SNL are like, hey, we'll turn it into wrestling ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Jerry fucking Lawler.
Yeah.
And then
he's going to host the show.
You just have fucking Kaufman show up in the middle and be like, fuck you, buddy, I am SNL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I built this show. Like, you're not shit. Like, you get the fuck out of here,
mm-hmm.
buddy. And they're bleeping shit, and they're like, whoa, this is crazy. Like,
regular, like,
this guy just showed up.
SNL, like, he'd show, not host very often, but he'd show up and do shit on SNL all the time. Andy Kaufman already.
Here I come to save
the fucking
the
relationship's
day.
There. I'll tell you what happened, too. That
symbiotic.
Year, there was an episode where Drew Barrymore hosted, youngest person ever to host SNL.
She show her tits?
No, but they did a bit where they had a 900 number where everybody could call in and vote whether or not they wanted Andy Kaufman to get banned from the show. So they're working the gimmick on SNL. All they need to do is go that extra step. Kick fucking Drew Barrymore's ass out of there. 8-year-old girls can't do comedy. Get Jerry Lawler in there. He loves doing comedy. We've learned that from his 1990s run where he yells puppies all the time.
You tell
Gift
you what.
Gift to gab that man. He's got a million old man jokes.
Plus, I look at his relationship with the cat. He probably would have tried to fuck Drew Barrymore.
Mm. Oh, God. Yeah. See, this is a good thing.
Maybe
my suggestion was to get rid of Barrymore and bring him in, not bring them both in on the same show. That would not have ended well.
Legally.
Plus, Joe Piscopo years.
Yeah.
Get some Julia Louis-Dreyfus on there. This would have been
some good
people for old Lawler to bounce off of.
Bounce it.
82, that was also an Eddie Murphy year. It was one of the few reasons Ebersol's run wasn't a total fucking shit show. You had Eddie Murphy.
It was literally just every skit he was in.
Eddie Murphy putting that whole show on his back for a while there.
You know what? Yeah, everybody get all mad at him for just turning into Eddie Murphy.
I will, because what happened to that fucker?
Whatever, he did it. He, for like 5 to 10 years...
got super rich and then he turned super weird. That's the dream, I guess.
Yeah. And everybody give Adventures of Nash Pluto another shot.
New Adventures of Old Christine and
New
Nash
Adventures
Pluto.
Of Old Nash Pluto. Give it another shot.
Crossover show.
It's not
that's
as bad
out.
As you think it is, you know? I never saw it.
No,
it's probably that
it
bad.
Yeah.
You want to get drunk and watch it sometime?
We could do that right now. We got nothing
just
to
fucking
do.
Fucking double that
rest
up
of
with
the night.
Bowfinger?
We just take a DVD of it into the bar and make him put it on the TV.
Oh, Dino's. Dino rules. Yeah. Dino rules.
It's like when old man Dino used to be able to go in there and watch CDs until the new, or DVDs, until the new ownership put the kibosh on it.
First thing we're doing is taking this
to
DVD
let weird old drunks watch the same DVDs over and over
it
again
all
night.
It was cool watching Brad Pitt's The Fury those 6 weeks in a row.
Over and over and over again. That guy had it figured out. I wish he'd come back and start hanging out in that bar again. That whole DVD blow-up was one of the worst things that's ever happened in our local haunt. Coming back next week, man. I've made... You know, we've tossed around some ideas, some right and some lefts, and some possibility shit. Are we going to record the next 2 weeks? Because we'd be recording on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. I could do it. I got nothing going
on. What's next... Well, next week's just
next
a regular.
Next week we could definitely do it. I'm saying after that, though. We got 2 weeks in a row.
I might be able to.
Yeah, let's
to.
Just fucking
know.
Do it. All right, so next week. One of them. Next week is our first. Is our last one before Christmas happens. It's going to be our Christmas episode. So we've established we're giving ourselves a Christmas gift. Yeah. We're doing another Baby Oil and Blow at the movies. We're going to watch Suburban Commando. It's perfect
That's
for
gonna
Christmas.
That's going to be next week?
Perfect for Christmas. And then after that is going to end up being the episode we drop for New Year's.
Okay.
So I've come up with a weird idea, Matt. Yeah. Special New Year's episode. And what we're going to do, we're going to come back, we're going to watch some wrestling, we're going to review it. I think we're going to review the WWF SmackDown from December 30th, 1999. The last WWF broadcast before the Y2K bug wiped out the entire civilization.
Whoa.
New Year's episode, December 30th, SmackDown, 1999.
Wow, the very last wrestling the country ever saw.
Take a little fucking, you know, parlay into the Attitude Era. It's a holiday, why not?
There's not another week in there? Is there another week in there?
And then after that is what we'd be recording on New Year's Eve, so it'd be like the first of 2019 would be our next.
Hey, either way, I'm
going to
trust you, whatever.
I looked at the calendar, man. I made these fucking decisions.
Man, that's going to be big for people.
It's going to be a couple of great episodes.
Oh, I can't wait.
I look forward to it.
I'm going
to
tune into it here on Baby Oil and Blow. Stay single.